that this happens to me more and more, but I have become less and less selfish about what I want God to do and more universal about what I want God to do. I have become less and less selfish about what I wanted God to do in my life and more universal about what I want God to do in the world. And the reason is because, for the most part, my earthly needs and the things that I desire have been taken care of because I have begun to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things were added to me. And so as that continues to happen in my life, then I am able to focus on other things. And today I want to talk to you about this kingdom that is the kingdom of solutions. That's my title for the day. You can see it up on the screen here. I think that it is so important that we understand that the kingdom of God is not just about, it's not a message of eschatology. It's not a message of prosperity. It is an encompassing message that God wants to use. It is the agent that God wants to use to take over the world and to bring the world into a place where everybody, listen to me, everybody, God has no delight in the death of a wicked person. He has no delight. And Peter says that people are saying that God is slack according to His promises and that He is being very slow in bringing about the judgment. But He is slow and He is patient and He is long-suffering because He wants everyone to come to repentance. And I'm going to tell you that it's not God's fault that they haven't come to repentance. I love you. But it's our fault that they haven't come to repentance. And today I want to talk to you about things that we need to do in this kingdom of God that we have that brings about solutions. So if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, I want to begin reading at verse 31. First of all, I want to present to you the problem. In order for there to be a solution, there needs to be a problem. If you've ever worked out any advanced math problems, you know there are multiple steps that you have to take, one at a time. And that's important, too. We have steps that we have to take. There are levels that we have to achieve time after time in order to accomplish things to bring about the solutions. What we think we're going to do as a church is we're going to do one thing, and the whole community is going to be saved. And that would be great. But we have tried just about everything you can do. And we've made up a few things. And none of it has brought our community to the Lord, much less the world. And so there is line upon line and there is precept upon precept. And the reason being is the people, you didn't come into the kingdom of God for the same reason I came into the kingdom of God. God meets us all where we are. And He evolves a church and He evolves His people to places where we can minister and meet the needs of the people around us. So let's look at the problem first. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Now, there's the problem, but it's also the solution. I'm going to play off a lot of what Pastor Young has been preaching about kingdom finances and bring that into an application today to show you some things about why God wants to bless you. You know the reason why He gives us the power to make wealth. Right, what is it? To establish the covenant. What are the Gentiles seeking? Money, clothes, food, houses, a good time, cars, jewelry, whatever. They're seeking all these things. Now, Mr. Fisherman that catches the biggest fish. If you go fishing and they're not biting what you're throwing out, what do? You don't go home. You change bait. And if they don't bite that, what do? You change bait again. And sometimes you have to go catch bait to go fish. So you have to go fishing twice to get what you're after. What are they after? This is what they're after. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, there are very, very, very few people that God talks about, specifically in the Old Testament, where we're given all these examples for our life who were poor. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. And anybody that was poor, you know what happened? They got rich. Now, you know, I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the way, it supposedly became holy and righteous to be poor. And I'm sorry, but that has impeded the progress of the kingdom of God. Paul said it this way, it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. And he says, you know, it looks good when you chasten yourself and you deny yourself certain things. It appears to be holy and righteous, but it has no good spiritually. And what we have done is we have allowed the world to get 50 to 100 years ahead of us. We copy their music. We copy their clothes styles. Everything that the world does, we copy. And we're like 2 years to get it out at the earliest. And we look so bad. And so, you know, there are the Christian Music Awards on TV, and there are the secular music awards on TV. Which one gets the most ratings? And everybody in America is a Christian. Why aren't they watching the Christian? Because the music is behind, and they're not interested in it. Now, some of us like Southern gospel music, and that's a genre of music that's a wonderful thing. I don't personally have any kind of strong appeal toward that, but some people do. But that's really the only claim to fame we have. And you know why? 50 years ago, we came up with it. We used to be the ones that did it. You know where Amazing Grace originated? In a honky-tonk bar. They wouldn't let them play it in church, but somebody was moved by the Spirit of God so much that they went into a bar and sang about the grace of God. You didn't know that, did you? The anthem of the church was first performed in a honky-tonk bar. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Because it's bait. Because typically, most of the people in the bar are there for a reason. They aren't very happy, and they want to get happy. And in their place of seeking after that happiness, somebody sang, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me." I just wonder how many people during that stint of time where that song was sung in the honky-tonk bar actually went from there to the Lord and into the kingdom of God. What happened to us? We've fallen under a stupor of religion. We've become at ease in Zion. We've become a church in crisis because we don't have the solutions anymore to the world. And so when they look at us and divorce rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world, do you think they want to be you? When you don't have anything and you're scraping by to get to the next day and the next day and the next day financially, you can't keep up with your bills, do you think they want to be you? When your children are running wild in rebellion, do you think they want to be you or me? No. They're looking for something else. And we cannot deceive ourselves to think that this way we live and we try to withdraw from society is going to bring them in. He says you're in the world. You may not be of it, but you're in it. Do you know that His ultimate purpose is to make every kingdom of this world become His kingdom? That's what He wants to do. You know, there are all kinds of kingdoms out there. There's the kingdoms of entertainment, the kingdoms of sports, the kingdoms of government. He wants everything out there to come into the kingdom of God. And so what He says for us to do, the solution is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I don't think a lot of times we've looked at it in such a way to see that what Jesus said right before this verse is so critical. This is not a selfish thing. This is not for you to get all the things that you want. It is for you to get them so that the Gentiles will see you have them and say, I want that. How did you get it? And you say, I seek first the kingdom of God. I mean, it's so simple. But Paul said, I don't want you to be taken away from the simplicity that's in Christ. And so what we've done is, because we have withdrawn, is we have to come up with all these complex programs to bring people into the church. Rather than just walking every day into our workplace, every day into the marketplace, every day into our schools, and just letting our light so shine before men as we bear much fruit in them, say, I want what you have. We're going to read that scripture in just a minute. So I got like a lot of scripture. So let's get going. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This is just one of those topics that is just so dear to me, and it's very tough for me not to just blow it all out on you. And I think I'm going to be speaking more often, and I probably could just break this down to a couple of messages, but I'm just going to give you the big whammy today and give you a lot to chew on. And then maybe sometime in the future I can go back and break some of the stuff down. Let's start reading at verse 15. And I want to the solution, which is the kingdom of God, is a display of the excellence of Christianity. And what you've got to understand is the things that God has given us to enter into the kingdom of God, the things that were provided for us by Jesus Christ, are like, I mean, we have the power of the age to come in our lives. We have the power of God. With the things that Jesus did, He said, you're going to do greater things. Now, if we have that promise from Him, we should be like this incredible display of the age to come that is so appealing that people come in. I mean, they didn't have like these incredible programs when Paul preached on the day of Pentecost. His Spirit just moved. And 3,000 people, or 5,000 people, I don't remember which one right now, but 3,000 or 5,000 people joined the church that day. Peter. Thank you. And then they were just hanging out together and doing all these things, if you'll read the rest of the second chapter of Acts. And people were just every day coming into the kingdom of God. And all they were doing was just seeking first His kingdom. They didn't have, they didn't have a nice place like this to meet in. And a TV ministry. And they didn't have all these things. They were just hanging out in their community, being Christians. And everybody wanted what they had. And then eventually God kind of said, okay, listen, this is serious. But I won't tell you what He did, because I want you to be excited about what I'm talking about. So let's move on here. You can read about it in, like, I think it's the fifth chapter of Acts. All right, let's begin reading at verse 15. The solution here is the excellence of Christianity. It's the kingdom of God. And what I want to do is start breaking down the things that God has given to us. And so this is what Paul did for the Christians of that day, and what we have also promised to us. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding, greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and all power and all might and all dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world. And I think you need to see that it says not only in this world. When we see principalities and powers, we're thinking demons. No, we're talking about governors and kings and senators and people in society who have these places of prominence. Jesus is above them. And so if we read the rest of this and we see what it happens, and He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the whom?
Church.
To the church. We are supposed to be in a place of prominence in our communities above all the prominent people in our community. This is why Paul is praying. And what did he ask for? The spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wanted us to have all these things so that we could know. He wanted us to receive these things so that we would have access to a knowledge, to a stream of information that nobody else has. The Bible specifically says that the spirit of man that is unregenerate, the spirit of man that does not have Christ, does not understand the things of the Spirit. We have access to a stream of information that nobody else has if we really believe what's going on here. We can find all the answers to the ills of society. If there's a pollution problem, we can find the answer to the pollution problem. And I've got a friend. Let me tell you about my friend. I've got a friend who just walks the walk. He really doesn't talk the talk a whole lot. He just walks the walk, and if he's approached, he definitely will talk the talk. He's just a meek guy. If you know who I'm talking about, you understand that there's a little pun involved there. But he's a meek guy. And he just is determined that he's going to be successful. He's got the Midas touch. Everything. He's built like $4 million businesses. He was my best friend in high school. He built all these businesses, and God came to him, he said, and he don't tell many people this because he's just that way. He just doesn't do that kind of thing. And he said, he called me one day and he said, "Lance, I need to talk to you about something." He said, "I don't talk to many people about this." He said, "But I know that you'll understand, and I just want to tell you about this so that in the future, if it happens, if this works out, I will know that it's God." And he said, "But God came to me and said that he had done a lot for me, and now it was my turn to do something for him." And I said, "Okay." And that was it. I didn't hear anything else from God. So, now what would you do? My friend starts looking everywhere to find what he's supposed to do for God. He puts his business, everything on the back burner, and his whole focus and intention is on finding out what God wants him to do. 2 weeks later, God came to him again, and I got another phone call. And my first phone call was to pray so that he would know. God woke him up again and told him that he wanted him to stop acid rain. And so my friend says, "Okay, what am I supposed to do?" Nothing. 2 weeks, research after research on top of research on top of research, everything he could find out about acid rain. He's not a biochemist. He doesn't know how to neutralize the acids and all that kind of stuff that come out of the car. He has no way of doing this kind of thing and the pollutants and all that stuff. But he's trying, and he's praying, and he's asking God, and he's wanting to do it, and he's putting everything on the back burner so that he can. After the end of that 2 weeks, waked up again, and God told him, gave him like a blueprint, a CAD design of how to stop the pollutant emissions from cars. So he developed it, and they tested it, and Detroit is going crazy, wanting somebody to come up there and go ahead and get this thing going so that they can use this product.
Hallelujah.
He has access to a stream of information, and my friend just really isn't that religious. He's definitely in the kingdom. Don't get me wrong. He's just not a religious person. When I say he doesn't talk the talk, I mean he doesn't run around, "Oh God." He's just not that way. He's just a guy who lives in the marketplace and works in the world, and he just walks the walk. And this is what happened to him. And so God told him, when everything came down, he said, "You're going to make billions, but I want you to give it all back to the church." Now, he's got to have the right mentality about this thing for it to happen. But my point is not so much that everything's going to be blessed and, you know, all this good stuff's going to happen. But the real thing that I'm trying to say is the solution to acid rain could be my friend's product. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's a big problem in the world, especially on the east coast of our country in the major cities. We're having a lot of trouble with that. We don't want the trees to die. And he's given him the answer to the problem. So we have the solution. We have the ability to access this stream of information. Now read on with me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Just skip the last verse. I'll read the last verse. "Which is his body, the fullness of him which filleth all in all." Now let's go on to Ephesians chapter 3. And this is where I'm really going to get like my chief text from. Verse 10 is what I want, but let's start in verse 9. I want to read, though, through verse 21. and I got to get going. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. God hid a mystery from the beginning of the world. And then when Jesus came, He unveiled the mystery. And now Paul is saying, God has told me to preach this mystery to the world. And this is the mystery. This is the mystery that God has hidden, because He had to establish something. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be made known by the whom? Church. By the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Our responsibility in the eternal scheme of things is to give God's wisdom to the world. We are the agent through which that stream of information is to come. He wants to solve the problems of the world through the church. That is His purpose. And all we're thinking about doing is just little meaningless things to try to get people into the church rather than solving the problems of the world and let them just flood right in, because we have the answers. Read on with me. According to the eternal purposes which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith to Him. We have access and bold access to this information. Bold access to the wisdom of God. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of this His glory, to be strengthened with the might of the Spirit in the inner man. Now, we've had a lot of teaching about the inner man. But He wants the Spirit in your inner man, so that your inner man can understand the knowledge of God and manifest it in the world. You have to grow, yes, and your inner man needs to be matured. But the inner man is where you receive this information. You have a regenerate inner man. You have the Holy Spirit that has come into you and made you new to give you access to this information. You want to grow up, start using the information that God gives you. Start leaning on the power of this information and manifest it into the world. You want to be a mature Christian is not somebody who has established a life of faithfulness in the house of God, though that is part of it. But it is a Christian who walks by faith, who establishes things, who manifests some great purpose of God in their life. You can come to church all your life and do all the neat little things, and that does not make you a mature Christian. A mature Christian is somebody who produces something in their society. And it doesn't have to be in this house. A mature Christian is somebody who God had a purpose for your life and you accomplished that purpose. And every one of you don't have a purpose of being the preacher in this church. We wouldn't get anything accomplished if all of you were supposed to be in here. He puts you where you are every day of your life for a reason. There is something that you're supposed to accomplish. And there's a stream of information that is always flowing. And all you have to do is access it to find out what it is. You want to be a millionaire? Well, bless God, find out what He wants you to do and do it. Open up your heart and receive what He has for you to do. Your gift makes room for you. He gave you a gift. And the Bible says, man, if you've got a gift, wherever you turn, you prosper. Read Proverbs. I try to tell you to read it. If He's given you a gift, whatever your gift is, find out what it is and use it, and you'll prosper everywhere you turn. Oh my goodness. Oh. I'm sorry. I love this kind of stuff. And look, I'm just this far. I've got all of that to go stay. I know when I started doing all this, I said, oh God, I'm my Father's son. Okay. Where did I get to? 16, and He would grant you according to the riches to be strengthened with the might in the inner man. I already read that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. There it is again. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. If you're filled with the fullness of God, you can say, let there be light, and there is light. What was the solution to darkness? Light. What was the solution to the storm? peace, be still. You want to be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. And it's not a power that everybody has access to. It is a power that only we have access to. Unto Him be glory in the church. In the church. By Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. See, you don't understand. People don't want to come to church, man. This is supposed to be where it's happening. We should get to sell tickets. Whenever you can set up Ticketmaster for the church. It really ought to be that way, people. I mean, it's funny, but they ought to be pounding on the doors again in here and find out what we know. Bill Gates ought to be here going, man, how did you write that software? He ought to be. He's not. All right. I just want to breeze through some things. God has always been about... You see, the kingdom of God has always been. Always. From the foundation of the world was the kingdom of God. And so, since His kingdom has always been here, His ability to be the solution to the world has always been available. Demonstrated in like Joseph. There was a famine coming to the land 7 years down the road. And it was revealed to a man. Now listen to me. God revealed to Joseph in the dream what the dream was about. He gave Joseph the interpretation to the dream. Joseph just had an access to a stream of knowledge. Because Pharaoh, we're talking about the ruler of the greatest kingdom in the world at the time, was Pharaoh over Egypt. And then he had all these wise men and counselors that were around him. They couldn't interpret the dream, which was one thing, but Joseph then turns around. He comes to Joseph and said, what are we supposed to do now? Who did he ask? He asked Joseph. Now Joseph, you see, this is what would happen to us. We would go to Clinton and say, this is what your dream means. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Clinton said, well, what are we supposed to do then? You have the word of the Lord. We're going, See, Joseph accessed a stream of knowledge and he said, 20% tax, and then when it comes time for the famine, there'll be enough to feed the world and keep everybody alive. You see, there was a manifestation of the power of God, but there was a man who was walking in the kingdom. Who just knew, who had access. He didn't have to run, go pray. He knew the answers. He was a solution-oriented man. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, she'll put it up there. I just want to breeze through these real quick. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that know their God, notice the word know their God, shall be strong and do exploits. 1 Chronicles 12:32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And then it goes on about how many were in the tribe. But they understood the times. They had access to the king, and they knew what ought to happen. They knew the plans and the programs and the procedures to solve the problems. Deuteronomy 8:18, this is the one that we're familiar with from the most recent teaching that Pastor Young has done. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He who giveth thee the power to get wealth, that they may establish His covenant, which He sware unto His fathers, unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, I happen to have access to lots of people in the church, and I know that God is speaking to people right now, at this present time, about witty inventions. I'm telling you that our church is maturing. And you know that part in our vision about financial influence? It's coming. And you need to access the stream. You need to access the stream. Because in that stream is knowledge of witty inventions. And if you want to accomplish something, just reach up and ask God to give you a knowledge of some witty invention and create it and go out and make $1 million. I was watching the news the other day and some woman made some little twisty tie thing and put some foam around it and put some kind of plastic thing on top of it for you women to tie your hair up with and made $1 million in 6 months. And I just sat there and I said, why didn't I think of that? You want to know how to do it? What is a problem that you have every day that you say, I wish they had come up with something? We'll say, all right, God, I'm tired of this. Why don't you help me figure out a way to solve this problem? Something that's every... Because if it happens to you every day, how many other people does it happen to every day? So how many people would buy your product? How many women would love just to have something to twist their hair up in? A bunch of them, because she made $1 million in 6 months. So even in... And this stuff is... Proverbs, New Testament, Old Testament, before or after Jesus?
Before.
Jesus always, so technically, you know, but sent before he came to establish the new covenant. This is Old Testament. And your New Testament says we have a better covenant based on better promises. And if he did it for all of them, much more for us.
Greater things.
There we go. Greater things. All right, so the solution's bottom line you can find out in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now see, the first part of this passage, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, that is a quote from the Old Testament. That is a quote from the Old Covenant. That is a quote from the Bible before Jesus came. The but is there to say something has happened between now and then. And what it was Jesus, and what it was the veil was rent, and what it was there is a bold access now to the information of God's mind and of His Spirit and His purposes. We now have the mind of Christ. So we can solve all the problems in the world if we will access that knowledge. 7 steps to being a solution. Write these down quickly and I'll read through some scriptures. You can jot them down as she puts them up on the thing and go back and review them, but I need to move along. There's 7 steps to becoming a solution, to finding a solution in what you want to do in your life and how you can walk out into the kingdom of God. The number one step is faith. Romans 4:17 is a description of Abraham. First of all, you have to believe. The faith is not just faith in God, but it is faith that God wants to make you a solution. Faith that God wants to prosper you in making you a solution. Faith in that if I seek first God's kingdom, that He is going to bring this about in my life. You have to believe that He wants to prosper you, not that He wants to leave you poor. Even in the Old Testament, He says, I know the plans I have for you, therefore you're good and not your evil. They're to give you a hope and a future. Preach with me. I love it. That was even in the Old Testament. So if He wanted to prosper them, bless God, He wants to prosper you more. As it is written, I have made thee father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. And he called those things which were not, that which be not as though they were. That's speaking of Abraham. And he believed. God said, I have this purpose for your life. And he was old and his body was dead. But he said, I am going to believe. And he started calling things that were not as though they were. So start speaking your faith, having faith. The second step is activation. You got to activate things. You have to come down here and receive the blood of the Lord. You have to ask for forgiveness to activate forgiveness. You don't just walk in forgiveness. You want to walk in forgiveness, you walk in forgiving other people. But there is a procedure through which you must go when you sin to get forgiveness. You have to activate the blood of Jesus. You have to activate the spiritual weapons of warfare. We had that class. There's an activation that must go on. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. You've got to ask, oh God, help me do something. Number three, there has to be a purpose. And it has to be the right one. James 4:3, I just told you, ask. But ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Now, understand, 10% of what you make is for your own lusts. That's the holy savings account that you've learned about. And I don't have time to get into that. But whatever your heart lusts after. But 90% is for something else. And so when He blesses you, you have to have a right kind of perspective. What is the other 90% for? The kingdom of God. So you have to have the right purpose. And the right purpose is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Then, number four, you need a vision. You need faith. You need to activate your faith. You need a purpose, which is the kingdom of God, and you need a vision. Think as big as you'd like, but plan step by step. You need a business plan. Whatever the deal is that God wants you to do, I want you to think big. And never limit God. But think like how you want to be in 20 years, but then figure out what you need to do for tomorrow too. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that to accomplish your goal. Because if you get just focused on the big picture, you're never going to...